We look at the book of Jonah, and it is, I call it the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Really, Jonah is the missions book. It's the John 3:16, for God so loved Nineveh that he sent Jonah to preach the gospel to him as well. Now, when we come to the book of Jonah, we know a lot about chapter 1. We know all about the storm and everything and about the sailors, the mariners, and all that. We know a lot about chapter 3 because chapter 3 is the revival, the changing of the city. We know a lot about chapter 4, the gourd, the wind, and the anger that Jonah had and all of that. But the chapter we tend to skip over is, I believe, the most important chapter in this book. It is Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. Because if Jonah doesn't pray in chapter 2, nothing's happening in chapter 3. And folks, I will tell you this. If we're not praying for this weekend, nothing's going to happen this weekend. And so we need Jonah 2 before we can see Jonah chapter 3. Now, the book of Jonah is just such a great book on the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Throughout this entire book, you see God's sovereignty. God is behind everything that's happening, and yet it is without a doubt one of the greatest books on the free will of man. And wherever you have a passage of Scripture where the sovereignty of God and the free will of man kiss each other, they hug each other, it is always so beautiful, and we really see that in Jonah. You know, when we think of God's sovereignty, notice 7 things that he prepared in this book. He prepared a storm. He prepared a fish, he prepared a gourd, he prepared a worm, he prepared a wind, he prepared a city, and he prepared a preacher. God's hand is behind everything that's going on. But then, think about man's free will. Man ran, man rode, man repented, man prayed, man pouted, man preached, man struggled, man sinned, man swam, man surrendered, man served, and man was stubborn. We see all kinds of the free will of man in the book of Jonah, but we also see the sovereignty of God. Now, when the sovereignty of God and the free will of man come together, it's always at prayer. So we look here in Jonah chapter 2, if you would. We got to go look back chapter 1, verse 17 for just a moment. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Father, we come to you tonight, and we want to prepare our hearts for prayer. First of all, we need to make sure we're right with you. And Lord, if there is anything in our lives, before we're going out on the hunt, before we're going out on a bus, before we pick up our guests and our visitors this weekend, before we enter the choir loft to sing, Lord, I pray that we'd be right with you. I pray that we'd be the instrument that you want us to be. So, Lord, I ask, first of all, that you'd cleanse us. But then, Lord, like Jonah had passion in the fish's belly, God, give us passion to see souls saved. Lord, may the passion that Jonah had in his prayer be what we have for Antelope Valley. So, God, work in our hearts tonight. Take Jonah's prayer and apply it to our lives tonight, where we are, whatever's going on in our life. I pray, Father, that we would see the answers of Jonah 3 this weekend as we come to you together tonight in Jonah 2 for prayer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed. Well, it took him a long time to get to this place. But wow, what a place of prayer. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the, everyone together, where did he pray? Fish's belly. Man, that was terrible. Let's say that again. Where did he pray? Fish's belly. Wow, that's number one, the place we pray. The place we pray. Now, large A, Jonah found coverage in the fish's belly. You know what kind of coverage I'm talking about? Cell coverage there. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know about you, but it is sometimes, now, I travel a lot. And a lot of times I got to go into the airport in LAX. There is a spot on I-14 just outside of Palmdale, when you start going down the hill, that I lose coverage every time I go in there. And I'm always talking on the phone, because that's my time to catch up with telephone. And I'm talking to someone, and I always forget to say, hey, by the way, this is the time. Cluck off. There is a spot on 138 going over to I-15. There is a spot on 138. You kind of go through the little bit of the mountains or whatever, and I lose right by Wrightwood. When you're coming down from Wrightwood, there is a spot that I lose coverage all the time. But can I tell you something about prayer to God? There is no place that there's not coverage. This guy's praying in a fish's belly. If there's AT&T coverage there, friend, there's AT&T coverage anywhere. I want you to know there's never a place on this earth that you can't get coverage with God, that you cannot call to God and that he will not answer. And by the way, sometimes it's not a geographical place. There's no place where you may be spiritually that you can't call out to God. You are only a prayer away from getting right back to God if you're away from him. I remember when I was a youth pastor years ago, I had never heard of the place Knott's Berry Farm before in my entire life. And when I was a youth pastor, there was one of my teenagers that ran away. And he was gone for like 7-8 days. Nobody knew where he was. The police were out looking for him. I mean, nobody knew anything about. And man, I'm praying. I'm not going to mention his last name. His first name was Brian. And man, we're praying for Brian. And we had no idea where he was, what happened. Every day we were meeting with the parents, asking the Lord, praying to God. And we knew he had taken some money, so we knew he had some money with him and everything. Well, of all the people that he calls, Brian calls me up. And of all the places where Brian is, he's at Knott's Berry Farm in California. I mean, I'd never heard of the place before. So it was a collect call. This is before cell phones, okay? So he calls collect, thinking that I'm going to receive it. Of course, I'm going to. By the way, you can call God collect. He'll accept the charges every time. He's already paid the price for the call. And I guarantee you, man, he'll answer every time. So anyways, I get this collect call from Knott's Berry Farm for Brian so-and-so. And I go, you're kidding me? Yeah, I'll accept the charges. And he gets on the phone. He says, Pastor Schottler, I said, Brian, where are you? He said, I'm in California. I'm at the Knott's Berry Farm. Well, we started. I said, oh, Brian, thanks for calling. And he says, man, I'm ready to get right with God. And I had to ask him. I said, Brian, what made you call from Knott's Berry Farm? And he said, Pastor Schottler, I'm in the gift store. And they have all this Oakland Raiders stuff. And I know that you're a real fan of the Oakland Raiders. And I got to thinking about you. And I said, I want to come home. And some of you think the Oakland Raiders are really wicked too, by the way. I just want you to know, Brian got right with God because of the Oakland Raiders, okay? So he calls me up. I thought to myself, of all the places in the world to get right with God, a gift store in Knott's Berry Farm. But you know what? This guy's in the fish's belly. And it doesn't matter where you are. And by the way, you may be in this auditorium tonight, but you're as far away as Jonah was in fish's belly. And wherever you are, you can pray right now to God. And you can come back to the Lord. And by the way, the Lord takes that prayer. Notice this. Jonah found coverage in the fish's belly. Number two, Jonah was out of God's will. But Jonah was never out of God's care. Isn't that amazing? He's not in the will of God in that fish's belly. But he's absolutely in the care of God. And I will tell you, Lancaster Baptist Church member, college student, I'm going to share this with you. You might have been out of the will of God at some time in your life, but you're never out of his care. And you're never more than a prayer away from being back where you were. By the way, in the New Testament, we have a parable of a young man that's sitting in a pig pen, but he's only a prayer away from getting right with God. Then we see one other thing. Jonah humbled himself and was done with fleeing. Now he wanted to start following. And I love Psalm 34:6. And tonight, when we have our time of prayer, just do Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have, that's, by the way, in the Bible, that's my favorite prayer verse. This poor man cried. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times this poor man has cried. And the Lord has heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He's done now from fleeing from God. He humbles himself and he's ready to come to God and ready to follow the Lord. Now, I know we're coming into evangelistic services, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But I will tell you, as we begin our prayer time tonight, I think we start with humility. I think we start with, God, is there anything in my life that would hinder my guests from coming? Is there anything in my life that would hinder what I've got to do on the bus route? Is there anything in my life right now that would hinder anything in the ministry in this church as well? He finally humbled himself, and now God's going to be able to use him. The second thing I want you to see is not only the place that we pray, but number two, the passion of our prayers. He says in verse number two, and said, I cried by reason of mine. And I want a good one here. I need your help on this. I cried by reason of mine. What, folks? Affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. I want you to see the passion of our prayers. Affliction creates passion. I don't believe that there is any word that I have lived closer to in my entire life. I'm 57. I don't believe there's any word that I've lived closer to in my entire life than affliction. Man, I have always been around trouble. I have always been around affliction. And as long as you live on this earth, probably, I'm not saying it's a buddy of mine. I'm just telling you, there's no word that Jim Shetler has been closer to than affliction. And throughout our lives, as the sparks fly upward, so man is given to trouble. My friend, I will tell you, there will always be affliction. But I loved our song by Sister Alice tonight. It was exactly, you know what? The Lord brings those trials. The Lord brings that affliction so that we have the passion and that we cry out to God. I think Pastor said this just the other day, and boy, I have been such big on this statement. If it doesn't move us, it's not going to move him. If we don't have passion in our prayer, why would God want to answer the prayer? I don't know who you have coming this weekend. I don't know what you got going on in your life. But I will tell you, affliction creates passion. There may be a lot of things going on right now, and you're thinking, oh, I don't have time to be thinking about all these evangelistic things. You don't know what's going on in our family. You have no idea the health things. You have no idea the financial things. No. You don't understand. Those things are to bring us to pray. Those things are to bring us to the passion that we bring our requests. And I cried by reason of my affliction. Because of what I was going through, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. Affliction creates passion. Affliction can come from chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I've heard preachers say this sometimes, and I've heard people say this. They said, bless God, when you're going through affliction, don't ask God why, just accept it and go through. I think that's silly. If you're going through affliction, you ought to ask why. I think there's usually three reasons why Jim Shetler goes through affliction. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, something stupid I did. Number two, some sin that I've been involved in. Or number three, some service that I'm going to do for the Lord. You know, there's basically three reasons why we go through affliction. It may be because something stupid that you did. And because of something stupid that you did, you're going to be afflicted because of that. Sometimes it's because of something in our lives. You know, I have been sick now for the longest period of time I can ever remember. I'm still not through this thing. I think it's going on 16 days that I've been sick, and it's just kind of still there. Well, it has given me a time. And you know what? I think there's been all three, Pastor. I think there's been some stupid things I've done with my health. I think there's been some things that the Lord has shown me in my life that I needed to get right. And I think there's some things that the Lord's doing in the service to Him that the Lord has showed me in trusting in Him. And I want you to know, affliction can come for chastening. One of the things, if you're going through affliction right now, I'd ask the Lord, Lord, is it something I did that was stupid? Is there something in my life I need to get right? Lord, is this to bring you honor and glory? And is this service to you? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he says he gives them the gift of suffering. The gift of suffering, and it can be for his service. And then the third thing on affliction will always be a part of our lives. Realize that no matter how old you are, no matter what you are. By the way, I love Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the wicked. Is that what it says? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Hey, listen, God never promised us that we wouldn't have affliction. Matter of fact, just the opposite. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What the Lord promises is that he will deliver us through them all. And by the way, he did that with Jonah as well. We see the passion of our prayers, the place of our prayer. Number three, I want you to see the persistence. The persistence with our prayers. Look at verses 3 through 6 and look at what is happening to this man. For thou hast cast me into the deep. You know, I find that interesting. See, he's understanding the sovereignty of God. Those men of their free will threw him over. And yet he understands exactly what's happening here. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. We'll come back to that in a minute. But look at this verse 5 and 6. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth, I mean the waves, he's going up and down. He's got seaweed all around him. The earth were her bars, was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. I want you to see the persistence of his prayer. While after those guys threw him overboard, I mean, he's drowning. He's going down. He's got seaweed around him. He's fighting as much as he can, but he's persistent with his prayers. Even in the fish's belly, we see that he cries out to God, and he's persistent with his prayers. Notice this. He's persistent no matter the challenge. I mean, he's being challenged right now, but I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to stop praying right now. If he's ever prayed in his life, he's praying right now with the challenge. Now, I want to tell you this. I want to thank God for a church and a pastor that challenges us with our faith. Now, I'll tell you, we were challenged about a month ago financially, but I don't even think that challenge comes to the challenge that we have this weekend. I put down a verse that I wanted you to see in Joshua chapter 10. I'm going to go ahead and turn there, but I wanted you to see this in Joshua chapter 10. In verse 14, it says this, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. This is where Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 10, I teach the book of Joshua, and I say that chapter 10, Israel is firing on all cylinders. I mean, they've got it all down now. They are going at it. They are conquering everyone. And I think even more than Jericho, I think this is a greater battle. And in Joshua chapter 10, they've taken on the five kings from the north. They are defeating everyone. And Joshua needs more time to have the victory. And he cries out to God. He says, God, you got to stop the sun. I need more time to do that. The challenge was great, but his persistence is amazing. Now, at the end, after the Lord does this, in verse 25 of chapter 10, it says this, and Joshua said unto them, now, he has just prayed, and there's never been a time like this before. The Lord answers this prayer. He says, no one, God's never done this for anyone before. And he prays, the Lord stands, has the sun stand still. And then in verse 25, Joshua says, this is after the prayer. Joshua said unto the men, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Well, the first time I was reading that, when I was studying for my class, I thought, oh, this is great. I zipped back to chapter 1 and to verse 9, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, oh, look at this. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I'm going, oh, this is great. Joshua in chapter 10 sounds like the Lord in chapter 1. What? He got it. I mean, what Joshua is telling his men is what the Lord was telling him in chapter 1. Well, Brother Shuttler, what gave Joshua that confidence? I want to tell you what it is. Answers to prayer. Answers to prayer. And I will tell you, this weekend is so important. By the way, college students that are here, I want you to know, for you to see God work in your life with people that you visited, with people that you bring, is so important for the rest of your ministry. And Lancaster Baptist Church, we believe that God is going to do something this weekend that this church has never seen before. I mean, to me, I'll tell you what, I think what's going to happen in Antelope Valley is greater than the sun standing still with the salvations, and we've got to believe that. And what he is saying is because he's experienced it. Now, some of you at Lancaster Baptist Church go, Brother Scheller, you're all excited about this weekend, but can I tell you something? We've seen God do this over and over and over again. Well, amen, friend. Then you be telling people, be not dismayed, be of good courage. Wait till you see what the Lord is going to do this weekend in our midst. No matter the challenge, he is persistent. No matter the confusion. I mean, he's got seaweed wrapped around his head. He's drowning. He's in such confusion. But it doesn't stop him. He says, God, I'm looking to the holy temple. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm looking to the holy temple, and I'm telling you, Lord, you've got to help me right now. Amidst the confusion, I love Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Habakkuk asked all these questions in the book of Habakkuk. And he says, you know, Lord, I don't understand this. And God, I don't know why you would do this. And Lord, I don't understand this. And the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk just says, Lord, I'm just going to have to trust you. Even though I'm confused on what you're doing. I don't know why you would judge. I don't know why you wouldn't judge Israel. But then I don't understand why you would judge Israel with a nation that's worse than Israel. Why in the world? Lord, I don't know why you don't judge the United States. Lord, I don't know why you would use Iran to judge the United States. God, I don't understand this. I'm confused. Lord, I'm confused. But in that confusion, he says at the very end of the book, he doesn't have his answers. But he does have his faith. And he says at the very end of the book, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no more meat. The flock shall be cut off from the field, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Lord, I am confused. I do not understand why I don't see any fruit. I do not understand what you're doing. But Lord, I trust you, and I am going to continue to pray. Lord, I am going to be persistent no matter the challenge. I'm going to be persistent no matter the confusion. And I'm going to be persistent no matter the circumstances. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Man, I'd have given up. But I'm not giving up. And I'm telling you, this guy is swimming. This guy is, he's drowning. He said, Lord, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. No matter the circumstances, I'm going to continue to pray. And number four, the purpose of our prayers. The purpose of our prayers. Now, I want to give you the three things here, and then I want to close with a story that the Lord is doing in our midst that is amazing. The purpose of our prayers. Look at Jonah for just a moment. At the very end of chapter 2, he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And this is the purpose of our prayer, is to remember God in what we're doing, in what's happening in our life. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Now, what the holy temple is representing, I believe, is our Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what I think he's thinking about. He's thinking not just of this big temple. He's thinking of one specific place. And I think that one specific place is in the Holy of Holies. And I think that one specific place is the Ark of the Covenant. And I think that one specific place is the lid on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And when he says, I look to the holy temple, I'll tell you what he's telling the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to the mercy seat. I know I deserve mercy. Because look at verse 8. I personally believe this is the most important verse in this entire prayer. Because this is his confession. This is him getting right with God. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know what? I had put the nation of Israel before you, God. I had put something before you in my life. And Lord, I understand that what I did was vain. It was empty. It was false. I had a God between you and me. I had something between you and me that wasn't right. And I need your mercy. And I believe that is absolutely critical in this prayer. But I want you to see this. Then he says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, it's a little, just a little rabbit trail, just a minute rabbit trail. This weekend, we do everything that we should be doing. And we're asking God. But from beginning to end, do know that salvation is of the Lord. We trust God that the Holy Spirit's going to prick their hearts. We trust God that the Holy Spirit, through the clarity of the gospel, is going to work. We believe tonight when we go to prayer, we are going to the Lord of salvation for prayer. Now, we also know that man has a free will. And we know that man can say, no, I reject the gift. But should we not pray? Should we not ask God, God, may the Spirit within this, in this worship center, may everything, may the sound system work, may the video work, may the choir sound the best they've ever sounded, so that though man has a free will, the Holy Spirit has an absolute freedom to work on the hearts of the individuals, that there is conviction, that there is love, that there is friendliness, that there is clarity of the gospel, that salvation is of the Lord. Boy, I love that phrase. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. By the way, did you notice this? Where Jonah's talking to the Lord, but the Lord doesn't talk to Jonah again till chapter 3, verse 1. Jonah's praying to God, and then finally the Lord says to him, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, I want you to see three things. We pray to remember his lordship. We pray to release our worship, and we pray to rejoice in our relationship. We pray to remember his lordship. I'm going to show you that in a minute. We pray to release our worship, and we pray to rejoice in our relationship. Let me tell you how all three of these came together here recently. There is a family in our church that's in our Sunday school class, the Abundant Life class. And it's the Venezuela family, Mike and Karen. They have incredible dynamics in their family and in their home. And Karen has been extremely sick onto a point of death in these last couple weeks. She has bone infections. She has pneumonia. There are so many things. Her body has been entirely septic. And there was... inhumanly speaking, there was no question that Karen was going to pass. And I want to tell you, a group of people from this church got together and began to lift up Karen Venezuela and began to pray. I was in Canada, but members of our class got together on the sidewalk at AV Hospital. And Marilee said, Jim, it was just amazing. We got as close to the room, because she was in ICU and they all couldn't go up and pray. So they got as close to the room as they could on the sidewalk with the window below. And they just prayed. And it is amazing. I just left an hour and a half ago from her room. She's been taken out of ICU. Her body is no longer septic. She responded to us. She's laughing. She's smiling. And you know, Mike's had some tough things happen in his life. But I will tell you what prayer has done. We pray to remember his lordship. Mike said to me tonight, coming out of the elevator, he said, you know, this has so showed me who God is. And I've been rejecting and I've been fighting, and God has been doing such a work in my life. We pray to remember he's Lord. We pray to release our worship to God. In just a moment, Pastor's going to lead us in corporate prayer. And that prayer is to release our prayer in worship to God. And we pray to rejoice in our relationship. Karen grabbed my hand just a couple hours ago. She squeezed, a couple of her neighbors were up there, and she squeezed my hand, and I said, is anything you want me to tell everyone tonight? Because I said, Karen, I'm going to mention you tonight. I'm talking about prayer tonight. And she says, you tell them. She says, you tell them to keep praying. And she says, you tell them God's doing a work in my life. And that's what prayer does. We pray to rejoice in our relationship with him. Now, in just a moment, we're coming together as a body of believers, and we are praying for something to occur in Antelope Valley that Jonah saw happened in Nineveh. By the way, we could probably make a lot of comparisons between Nineveh and Antelope Valley. This valley needs what we're going to give them this weekend. Salvation is of the Lord. So let's go now to the Lord of salvation and ask God to do a work. First of all, check your own life, friend. What place are you in? Are you in the place right now that you need to be? Are you passionate about who you've invited? Are you passionate about what's going to happen here this week? Are you going to be persistent? My friend, our purpose is to remember who he is.